Good day, Honey Rich. It is a real privilege for me to share this devotion from the book of James with you. With only 10 minutes, let us jump in right away. Our theme today is appropriating the Word of God. And for this, we're going to read the verses here before us, James 1, 18 to 22. I'll be focusing on 19 to 21. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Please keep your Bible open as we're going to look at every verse in detail. We read in this first chapter of James that his readers are suffering from all sorts of trials and temptations and persecutions, and James wants them to find strength in the word of God. We live by it. We therefore need to make it our own. But how do we own the word? How do we embrace it? How do we appropriate it for ourselves? These three verses deal with the word of God in us. Notice in verse 18, we were brought forth. We were spiritually born by the word of truth. The word that comes from God. The word about God. The word bearing fruit unto God in us. When we deal with the word, we are dealing with a person, with the Lord himself. Christ is the word of God, the word made flesh, the living word. The word is alive and life-giving. The word is about him. The word is our window to God and to Christ. That is why it is so important to appropriate it for ourselves, to be quick to listen to it, and to be meekly receiving it. Let us first look at verse 19. This verse about quick to hear and slow to speak is not necessarily approving of quiet, withdrawn introverts, as opposed to bubbly people who talk a lot and are loved by many because of that. Each one of us know people like that. It's also true that there is a lot of thoughtless and empty talking, equating it with foolish, as in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3, for a dream comes with much busyness and a fool's voice with many words. However, the context of our verses suggests that we are mostly dealing here with the word in a religious sense. In a faith sense, we're speaking a lot or speaking little as having more to do with our attitude to the word. We see the same echoed elsewhere in Scripture. For instance, in Ecclesiastes 5:2, do not be rash of your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. In other words, we are exhorted here to be quick to hear and slow to speak in matters related to God and to the Word. It means an attitude of humility and meekness, of holy restraint when it comes to the Word. I don't know everything about the Word yet. There's still a lot to learn. I don't have a corner on the truth. This is what these words mean. James goes on and exhorts his readers to be slow to anger, and we sort of wonder why referring to anger here. Yes, general anger management is certainly not excluded here, but that's not the main point. If James is talking about speaking in relation to God, logically then referring to anger in this verse must include how we react to the word, how we speak the word or about the word. The focus of the passage we are studying today is our appropriate attitude towards the word of God, our stance, our heart's position. That means humility, a real attitude of awe, an attitude of respect to the word would be appropriate. how inappropriate it is to be getting angry about the word, about what it says, when it cuts into my heart, let alone getting angry with other people about their many opinions and positions about the word. The word is powerful. It gave us new birth. It even saves us, we read in verse 21. So calmness and respect and meekness and restraint and humility in the sight of the word of God is in order. That is what James wants to say to his readers and to us. But now in verse 20, what does this part, anger does not work righteousness before God, exactly mean then? We know from other places in Scripture that anger and wrath most certainly did work righteousness before God. Take, for instance, Jesus cleansing the temple, or Phineas in Deuteronomy, who saw the blatant adultery in public view in front of him and the leaders of Israel, and he took immediate, rash, violent action. He killed two people with one violent thrust of a spear. If this was not anger at work, I don't know what it is. And this act of wrath was so pleasing to the Lord that even a special covenant was made with him, we read. There is certainly a place for a holy zeal for God. But this type of holy zeal for God, this holy wrath or righteous anger, is not what this verse is referring to. But what type of anger does it then refer to? What is going on here in James's mind? The clue is in our text itself. It is the moral filthiness and rampant wickedness James is referring to. That is the clue. Why does James refer to filthiness and all sorts of evil here? It is as if this does not really fit in this verse. No, it does, and it fits really well. The filthiness he is referring to is the result of speaking the word in anger, or reacting to the word in anger with a wrong attitude of pride and strife and factionalism and division. James is referring to the moral filth of pride, of an inappropriate knowing-it-all attitude, of angrily expressing the fact that I have a corner on the truth, and offending others and breaking down relationships as I react angrily to those who disagree with me on some issue of the word, for instance. It is the same moral filthiness referred to in James 3, where James refers to selfish ambition and strife, which leads to disunity and all sorts of evil. That is what is meant by not working righteousness before God. It brings division and disunity instead. Angrily arguing about God's word, promoting my own ego, for instance. People are not being saved by it. That is why verse 21 says we need to receive the word with meekness. What does meekness mean? Meekness can be defined as humble restraint, godly restraint, surrendering to the word and to the truth it communicates, allowing it to work on me instead of me using it to work on others with anger. And lastly, we see that the truth, the word, is implanted in us. The truth in us is still a small plant, a weak fledgling. It is not yet fully grown in any of us. We all know our knowledge of the Lord and his word is still limited. That is why we are eager to learn more, to listen to a sermon or two every week, to attend Bible studies, to read good books about the Bible, to be in the Word every day in our devotional times. This plant will be growing all through our years of Christian living. Therefore, we need to be quick to listen, quick to learn, quick to make this little plant grow. It is with this attitude of teachability, this eagerness to learn more, this hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we appropriate the word, that we make it our own, that we receive what is already implanted in us, to make it even more firmly implanted, as John Calvin said. In the next section, James then develops what this appropriating of the word in meekness really means. He says in verse 22 that just listening to the word is not enough. We need to take one step further. Real appropriation happens when we become doers of the word. But that is for next time. May the Lord bless you as you appropriate his word, even today, in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis and lockdown. Amen.